Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. And I encourage you to go there today, but make sure you check in with us regularly because we're constantly updating. And as of probably the first quarter of 2019, we'll be delivering a whole new website, which will, I think, greatly enhance your real estate and homeownership experience online. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, now in Phoenix, Arizona, and also Boston, Massachusetts. And this show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. I encourage you to call them today, 633-3700, and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's guaranteed. And ask about any of our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash, because you have a commitment as opposed to the qualification or pre-qual or whatever other lenders want to call it. This is an actual mortgage commitment. All you need is the property to attach it to. So call Hunt Mortgage today at 633-3700 for a personalized, customized, what we like to call knock your socks off service, and check out that low rate guarantee. There are some restrictions, but the details are on our website at huntmortgage.com. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7, 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, all across upstate, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona, and soon to be, we'll all be linked in to our offices in Boston as well. So simply dial 716-631-4800, enter the street number of the house you want to know about. No matter whose listing it is, and the hotline will prompt you with the choice of street names. Select the one you want, you'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property, all automatically. Just that fast, anytime in any market we serve on, any listing, does not have to be our listing. Whether it's ours, that'd be great. But if it's not it's not ours, you drive by and you see a sign with 42 words and letters and telephone numbers, and you're all confused about what to do, just dial 631-4800. We have a very active real estate market here in Western New York, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that today and a bunch of other things because I've got two very special guests in the studio with me this morning. But before we get to them, I want to remind everybody that Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider for our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. We've got a win streak going across the board, which is pretty impressive. Last night was yet another impressive win for the Sabres. That's 8 in a row. That's the first time in almost anybody's memory that that's happened. And the Bills crushed the Jets last weekend, and I had a ticket to that game courtesy of one of my guests, which I didn't go to because my plane was supposed to leave and my plane got delayed. I could have gone to the game, as it turns out. So anyway, I watched it on television until I had to get in the car and then listen to the radio. But bottom line is that they won, which is important, and it's good that we're riding into this weekend our home game tomorrow with a win. We are broadcast live here at WBEN 930 AM, and if you'd like to participate in our show, you can reach us here in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're mobile, or star 930, star 930. Those are all free calls, and we'll be giving out the text number in a minute as soon as I can remember what it is, but I can't write the second. Anyway, in the studio with me today is Peter Scarcell. Mr. Scarcell is the general manager for Hunt Real Estate ERA in Buffalo, Niagara, and Rochester. And also in the studio with me today is Ed Forbes, an editor with Gannett, and I'll let him describe which paper that he's associated with or papers. And the reason why I've got two guests this morning is because we're following up on the shows I've been having in recent past and actually thematically for a long time, which have to do with the momentum here in this part of the world, Western New York. And last week I had the mayor of the city of Buffalo on, and we talked about what were the components of that momentum and why we believe, or we should believe, that it will continue. And we're going to look at some market data today, courtesy of Mr. Scarcello. And then the other issue that I think is something that affects all markets, not just real estate, but all markets, is how we communicate today and how we get our information. And an expert in that field is Mr. Forbes. So first of all, Peter, welcome.
Morning, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Ed, welcome.
Welcome, Peter. I'm sorry you weren't with us in the Meadowlands to see the Bills absolutely trounce the New York Jets, but
I don't know who you were rooting for, but it must have been. I'm sure you were.
But by the beginning of the second half, I got religion. So,
and I'm sure by that point, most of the other fans were on their way out the door too. It was fairly lopsided, fortunately for us. Anyway, happy Thanksgiving to you and to everyone listening. I hope you're enjoying. You enjoyed a great day, and that you're enjoying the weekend. And by the way, do your best to keep our economy going. Go out there and spend some money, get that Christmas shopping done early, and take advantage of what is it? Small Business Saturday?
Something Small like? Business Saturday. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Anyway, Peter, last week the mayor was talking about, and we were both talking about the feeling that people have here in Western New York. We've been talking about it with many of our guests over the last several weeks. What's the truth behind it? What's going on in the market? And how does it relate to the rest of the market throughout the country?
Yeah, well, first of all, Peter, the market. I'll speak to Buffalo Niagara, and that market in unit sales is pretty flat, and that's a symptom of low inventory. And then the overall market went up 5%. So prices
overall volume
market went up.
That means the sale price times the number of units.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Actually, sale price moved from the average sale price across the region moved from 148 to 156.
156. That's the highest it's ever been.
Yeah, our price we as a company went from 168 to 176. So that's very good. So the inventory thing is it's really a challenge, and I think we're going to see more of that going into 2019. And I think there's a number of things driving that.
Like what?
First of all, people that want to move up, they can't find the house they want, so they more or less stay put. People that want to downsize, they're finding that to go into a patio home is more expensive than selling the current home.
Mm-hmm. Per square foot.
And then what I'm hearing in Buffalo is that there's a there's a waiting list for elder care facilities where people might want to sell and move, and that's stalling things. But the other thing, which I think is more important, are investors who have, there have been major investors, this is across the country. But what we find is groups of people will get together and they start buying investment properties. And they've had the benefit of both a run-up in market value, average price, and then we've had increased rents. And so they, instead of buying properties and flipping them, so to speak, they're hanging on. So they're garnering the increased price plus the increased rent, and that in itself stalls the market.
And then you have kind of the intermediate delay, which is the flippers. They'll buy a property, fix it up, and so it's off the market for a period of time.
Right.
And then they turn around and sell it, often for a much larger sum. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there's no point in selling it.
Right.
So go back to the point about the average sale price and or the values going up as rents are going up, which is a very interesting phenomenon, because my belief has always been that when you buy real estate, pretty much like you buy any investment, there's one of two ways to get a return on that investment. One is through cash flow. In other words, your income, your revenue is greater than your expenses, so you have a positive net income. And that justifies the investment, and that number, whatever it is, as a percentage of what you invested in cash is your return on investment, which is generally one way of looking at real estate. And then the other way to look at it is you buy with the belief that it's going to go up in value. But you don't generally get both unless rents are continuously increasing.
Right.
And so how fast are they increasing here? I mean, because it seems to me that they increased rapidly several years ago as new product came on the market. And that was a function not so much of just rents going up or demand, but it was a function of just a better product, a newer product.
Right. It's interesting. As I talk to our agents, I grew up in South Buffalo, so I'm probably more familiar with that market than others. But I can remember apartments were renting for $350, $400 a month, and now they're $800, $900 a month for a little three-bedroom, two-bedroom apartment.
Or more. It's probably on many of those streets, it's probably exactly the same unit.
Sure, yeah.
But
yeah.
You're also seeing gentrification. I had a great conversation with Jake Schneider mm-hmm. this past week, and he, of course, has done more and more development in South Buffalo, including the old Chase Theater there, which is quite impressive.
It's kind of the key component to Seneca Street. I was on the South Buffalo Chamber Board with Mark Schroeder years ago, and that was the focal point of Seneca Street, was getting that property redeveloped. And finally, Jake Schneider stepped in and purchased it, and it's amazing what's going on there. But everything else stems from that. The whole Seneca Street corridor now is going through serious rehab. It's great to see. But then with that, your residential values increase. So it's the symbiotic nature between residential real estate and commercial development. We see that all over Western, the village of East Aurora, the village of Hamburg. And your property values increase because you've got a strong business district.
And that, I think, is one of the issues that happened in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s when there was a flight away from urban centers and the creation of the suburban mall, the suburban shopping center, subdivision after subdivision, and the convenience of not having to go back into the urban center. And it's been almost exactly the opposite. We've seen suburban shopping centers fail, be repurposed into all kinds of things, including kind of villages under a roof with residential and movie theaters and all kinds of stuff in there, all kinds of they've become entertainment complexes as much as they've become shopping centers.
Right. Well, the Eastern Hills Mall will be going through that phase at some point.
And we'll be talking with the Montanti Group about that, because I think it's something that we should keep our eyes on as we look forward. We have a caller on the line. This is Jim from Grand Island. Jim, how can we help you?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. I have a question for you that has to do with solar panels. I'm told that if you put a solar panel on your house, it can increase the value of your house from 2 to 5%. What's the history on that you know, and do you think that's just a good sales gimmick?
Well, I wish I could give you some data on it. I'll give you my feelings, and I'll ask Peter to provide his as well. Solar panels are kind of a double-edged sword. And on the surface of it, particularly now, at least for a while, through the tax credits that are available, they seem to be a good investment in terms of the deal that you're going to make with the solar panel provider for installation, and then if you're fortunate enough to generate more than enough electricity through the solar panels, then you need the sale back of the electricity into the grid, et cetera. It's not an easy concept for a lot of people to understand, and I think to some extent it has to be viewed as dollars in and payback over a period of time. So looking at it, you have to look at the deal that's presented to you. From a standpoint of return on investment, whether it makes your home more valuable, I think that is also subject to debates because some people think they're ugly.
Well, there's a subdivision in Amherst that's almost exclusively solar panels. Mm-hmm. So that would be one thing. But then, it's consistent. But if you're in a subdivision and you're the only one with solar panels, I don't know how that would play. It may have an effect.
Either you're very forward thinking, or you're a lone wolf, one of the two. But I'm not sure which one is more valuable. Before we shift gears here, just going back to the issue of the momentum in the marketplace. What I'm hearing you say, Peter, and this is something that is quantifiable, is that basically there are other factors involved that are limiting kind of the forward momentum of our marketplace. And one of those issues is just available housing. Mm-hmm. What else plays into this thing?
Interest rates haven't really had much of an effect on the market. But as they start to tick up, I think there's a point where people may slow down. I don't know what that number would be. You know, we've been doing this so long. I remember when we were in markets where the rate was 16% and 17%.
We sold houses.
Yeah, right. And now we're in a phase here where if they go over 5%, people get antsy. But
well, you know, let's look at that for a second here. I watch the financial news and read as much as I can read about this because I'm not trying to guess what's going to happen. I want to see what the factors are and what other people say are the factors. And continuously now in the financial news, they talk about housing. And Ed Forbes, you're kind of scanning the world to find out what's relevant for to share with others. As you look at the whole issue of what people want to hear about and talk about, to what extent are you hearing and seeing the issue of the housing market in general and its and its extent on the rest of the economy?
Yeah, so, Peter, just to be clear for your guests, I work as a journalist outside of New York City. I'm affiliated with Gannett and the USA Today Network. I'm titularly the managing editor of The Record, which is the second largest newspaper in New Jersey, but I work across New Jersey and over into New York State and Westchester County and Rockland County at the Journal News and LowHUD.com, where I've spent most of my career. We talk about housing all the time in our coverage of suburban life outside of New York. Many of the issues are very similar to the issues here in Western New York. You're seeing the revival of downtown cores that had been forsaken in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, as you said. We're seeing a huge demand for transit-oriented development, which is housing units that are in these downtown cores that are accessible to mass transit in the New York market. Obviously, on both sides of the border, that New Jersey Transit and the MTA, Metro North, are a big part of life for commuters. And so access to those rail lines heading into New York City is important. Just as access here in Western New York is to destinations downtown and to areas in the suburbs where corporate jobs are. So we talk about housing all the time, and there seems to be, just as I see here, a demand for sort of non-traditional refurbished units. And one of the things that's very interesting that we're seeing both in northern New Jersey and in downstate Westchester County is the repurposing of office parks from the 70s. And 80s. I can think of two projects in particular outside of White Plains. One is a property that Wegmans recently acquired. They're going to open their first grocery store in Westchester County downstate sometime in 2019. They bought two underleased corporate office park properties and have demolished them and are planning to build a fairly traditional Wegmans footprint. The other development that I think of when I think of repurposing office parks is actually right next to this. Wegmans parcel, which is two office parks, not dissimilar to the one we're in now, that are being refurbished for condominiums. So these are properties that are near bus lines that convey people along the I-287 corridor into White Plains. It's an east-west road that runs roughly from Greenwich, Connecticut to Tarrytown, New York, and the Tappan Zee Bridge. So fairly close to major transit hubs. And we're starting to see some of the same things in New Jersey, where there are a lot of dormant office parks, Peter, in communities that I know you're familiar with, like Parsippany, New Jersey, where developers are looking and thinking, okay, well, we're near major interstates, we're near major rail. What can we do here to make these underleased properties more relevant? And so converting them to housing units is something that is an emerging trend that we've really been looking at over the last couple of years.
Well, let me ask you about that, because in places like northern New Jersey, there's not a huge net growth of population.
Right.
So when they repurpose a office park, let's say, and they add 150, 200 units, whatever the number is, some people have to come from someplace.
So what happens
to the houses they come from
in terms of the value? That's one of the things that we are watching with a good deal of skepticism, right? Because a lot of this development, a lot of the reinvestment in the downtown cores is predicated on the idea that there will be a surge of people coming out of New York City because they'll be driven out by price. And whether or not that's real remains to be seen. We've been sort of covering that angle of the story now for 5 years since the economy began to emerge from the recession. And there's also a belief that the millennial boom, so to speak, is yet to come. And, as I say, we've been waiting for quite a while for that to happen. And I think that that's a really good question and a good planning issue for both places like Buffalo and for places like suburban New York City. What happens to the other units? Where are the buyers to replace the? So you're familiar with where we live. We have a fairly traditional suburban home in a fairly traditional suburban subdivision. But if my wife and I were to downsize in 10 years, who's to come behind us to buy that, our unit? So there are real questions about whether or not this repurposing and, you know, what all this reinvestment in downtown cores will mean in the long term.
And that goes to the inventory issue, Peter, that you mentioned earlier, because it seems to me to work at kind of a market crossroads across the entire country. We've got the inventory issues that you're talking about. We've got the repurposing issue that Ed is talking about. And then we've got the overall sluggishness in the high end across the whole country, which is really very interesting. I had a talk with a real estate agent just last night. Excuse me. He was telling me that they just put in Manhattan, they just put a unit on the market for $77 million, and it's unfinished. It's unfinished. And I said, where's the buyer going to come from? Just out of curiosity, who's your target market? She just giggled like you guys are. So, I mean, I don't get that. Especially when I hear horror stories about the high end across the country. When we come back, I want to ask about both of you guys about when you have a natural disaster like we saw on the West Coast, what's happening out there and what the impact is of losing 20,000 houses, what that does to real estate market. And we'll be right back with more from Our House to Yours after these important messages.
This is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. The market continues to change from day to day, but one thing that hasn't changed since 1911 is our commitment to serve the needs of Western New York homebuyers. At Hunt Mortgage, we will always work to find our clients the best rate and home financing options available. Rates are rising, and now may be the very best time to buy or refinance your home before these low rates disappear.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new, continuously new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. And as I said, keep your eyes open. We're going to be changing that, making it faster, better, easier for you to use, and obviously, hopefully, with more information that's relevant to you. HuntRealEstate.com is the only place in the web where right now you can find a complete inventory of homes available anywhere here in Buffalo, Niagara, also all the way across upstate and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. And you'll also find access to a complete set of homeownership services at HuntRealEstate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. And for more information about our exclusive program that allows you effectively to roll the cost of all those improvements that you see when you walk into a house right into your mortgage, that allows you to effectively buy the before but live the after, call 633-3700 and ask for details. And ask about our pre-purchase commitment as well, and even our home loan, warm home loan as well, only at Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. And if you just want to pick up the phone and ask about anything relative to real estate, call the Hunt Customer Service Center, 633-9400, and we'll be happy to either answer your question right there or direct you to the appropriate professional for whatever it is you may need, whether you're considering buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home, or ERA will buy it. That's the seller security plan. There's no greater assurance in the marketplace today. It's available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. I'm in the studio today with Peter Scarsello, the general manager of both the Buffalo, Niagara, and Rochester regions for Hunt Real Estate ERA, and also Ed Forbes, the managing editor of The Record.
The Record, yes, in Northern New Jersey.
The Record in Northern Jersey. I'll get that right.
Yeah, it changes all the time, too, so don't worry about it.
And that's also part of the Gannett system. USA Today would be what many of us know, and even Channel 2 on television here is a Gannett property, is it not?
It was a Gannett property. It's now a Tegna station, and it's now owned by Tegna, which is our company split in two. We had a broadcast division and two newspaper divisions, USA Today and then 109 community newspapers. And in 2015, the company spun off the newspapers. So USA Today and our 109 newspapers across the country, including the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle and others across New York State and all around the country, are now one company, Gannett and the USA Today Network, and the television company is called Tegna. And yes, WGRZ is still a big part of that company.
Great. We have a caller on the line before we get back to our subject here, and this is Gustav from Williamsville. Gustav, how can we help you?
Well, you folks were discussing the repurposing of properties, and I'm wondering to what extent any of you are concerned about the zoning, especially, for example, in the city of Buffalo, the Green Code, where it's more of a piecemeal, it seems to me.
What do you mean by piecemeal?
And whether this is holding back any part, aspect of the repurposing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'll have to explain what you mean by that.
Well, for example, where in the case of what Mr. Forbes was mentioning about the office park converted to to a Wegmans use and residential, where the previous use or the current use when perhaps Wegmans bought it was commercial, and the lag time or whatever is a disincentive for the repurposing to...
I see what you're saying. Well, let me try to take a swing at that, and this is my understanding anyway, that the most restrictive use is the most restricted use. It goes as you go up the food chain. In other words, as you get more and more commercial or investment applications, it becomes more difficult. That's my understanding. I could be wrong, and I'm sure it mm-hmm. varies from town to town. So if I'm taking it from more restrictive to less restrictive to residential, I would think that that would be an advantage and be less difficult than going the other way. In other words, if I wanted to tear down a subdivision and build an office park, I would think that would be more difficult than the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And from your experience, I mean, you must follow these things as you report on them. What do you think?
Yeah, so the Wegmans project I mentioned earlier is in the town of Harrison, New York, which is a suburban town with a very well-established, successful school district. And so while in New York State, our school district systems and municipal governments are separate, they often, in suburban environments, and this will be familiar to listeners here in Western New York too, operate in concert as they to ensure quality of life and other things are preserved. So in the case of this Harrison redevelopment, which was actually the first phase of this was the conversion of the office space to residential. The second phase was Wegmans' purchase of the adjacent parcel to build their new store. Quite a bit of lobbying had to be done in order for zoning changes to happen. And so there are organizations in that part of the world, the business world in Westchester, the Westchester County Association is leading the way in trying to work with communities to build smart growth plans that incorporate quick zoning changes so that when these kinds of opportunities happen, conversions can happen with some efficiency. But in this case, this was a drawn-out, multi-year negotiation over the fate of the first property because there are people who didn't want to add population to the schools, and there were all kinds of other speculative issues.
For the residential thing, not the Wegmans thing.
No, nobody fought the Wegmans thing. The red carpet was basically rolled out for that. But I think generally the way that you address the logic, Peter, is correct, that it's harder to go the other way. Right, it's harder to take a subdivision and turn it into office parks.
I would think that'd be fought tooth and nail.
Anywhere across New York State, yeah.
Whereas if you've got a property like Eastern Hills Mall, as you were talking about, mm-hmm. Peter Scarcella, it would seem to me that the community would welcome that conversion because once, as opposed to people coming and going as you are for a shopping center, you're going to people coming and staying for the residential use there, for example,
right.
and having a convenience is going to be less reason for the people that live there to be, getting in their car and driving someplace if they can walk. It's like living in the Elmwood Village or on Long Hurdle Avenue or near Hurdle Avenue. If you don't have to take your car, it's certainly a very good option.
Yeah, I think the thing is that the time frame, how long it's going to take to put that deal together, because right now you drive by the Eastern Hills, there's not a lot of activity there. And you've got stores closing and.
Mm-hmm. So, well, let's assume it does go together. And do you see that being a net contributor, positive to almost every faction you could think of in that part of our county?
I would think so. The other thing is, I think the 2020 census will show that we've not only bottomed out, but I think we're going to be on the upswing population-wise.
Well, that's what Mr. Poloncarz said sitting right there about a year ago, and he'll be back on to talk more about it. But the fact of life is that we are seeing for the first time some positive movement. But what's in the overall population in the county? But the story that doesn't tell is the movement from town to town, city to suburb, suburb to city. And that's something that's a little harder to chart as when you're in kind of a slightly better than a zero-sum game.
Well, if you look at, I think Elmwood, Delaware is a perfect example of kind of what's happened in Western New York, and that it's moved that, basically moved that whole market to Niagara Street.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's the extension of the good vibe.
Yes. Yeah.
Moved west, and also moved east.
Moved east, moved west. It's Riverside is seeing significant increase in sale prices. So that's going on all over Western New York. It's great to see.
Well, if you look at a couple neighborhoods in particular that are affected very positively along those lines, first of all, and I think perhaps most pronounced, going east would be the Linwood-Oxford neighborhood, going from mm-hmm. behind the old Millard Fillmore Hospital, which is now Canterbury Woods, going east from there towards Main Street and going south. That's been a very, very positive, very, very positive change.
I can remember years ago when you couldn't sell a property on Linwood Avenue. Mm-hmm. Maybe 25 years ago. Beautiful properties, and they just sat.
I sold one property there for $40,000, and it must have been, it must have been 6,000 square feet, mm-hmm. and in very good shape. And yeah. I sold it to a lawyer, and he lived there, kept it beautiful, and I believe still owns it. And that's now it's surrounded by $400,000 properties.
It's a beautiful street now,
which is really spectacular in many respects. But the Severin brothers, who work with us obviously, and very entrepreneurial young men, have four homes that they're either building new or redoing right in that immediate neighborhood going east. And then if you go to the hospital, the medical corridor, mm-hmm. and you go east of there, there's another very positive gentrification going on, and it's not as negative as some people might hear in that term, because a lot of the things taking place there are where an investor will come in and buy a house from a family or an individual that's lived there for 50 years or something and allow them to rent it back until mm-hmm. they don't want to rent it back anymore.
Right.
And that to me is one of the healthiest things that could happen, because there's new money infused into that neighborhood. That seller has now realized a significant gain and can do with that money as they wish. In the meantime, they also have a great place to live that they're familiar with.
Right.
So we're seeing a lot of that as well. I want to go back to the high end, though. I want to go back to the other end just for a second here. And you see this in the downstate market perhaps more than we do here, but we see it here as well, Peter Scarcell. Don't we see – is a softening occurring in the high end here as well?
There has been. I would say it's 400,000 and above. I talked with a couple of our agents in our Williamsville Clarence branch, and they said the 350 to 400 market is still pretty active, but once you get above that price, it slows a little bit.
And what do they think is the reason?
Well, part of it can be, you know, people coming in from other parts of the country. Our relocation department, those numbers may be off. But again, we talked about the stock market, and you know, it's volatile right now. And I think when that's volatile, people get somewhat antsy about their money.
About their high-end purchase of all things, jewelry,
right. Yeah.
Airplanes. Houses, whatever the case might be. And we'll be right back with more from our house tiers after these very important messages.
This is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. The market continues to change from day to day, but one thing that hasn't changed since 1911 is our commitment to serve the needs of Western New York homebuyers. At Hunt Mortgage, we will always work to find our clients the best rate and home financing options available. Rates are rising, and now may be the very best time to buy or refinance your home before these low rates disappear.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the pre-purchase commitment, and you just heard from Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage, and she was on the show with us recently to talk about the very interesting mortgage market we're in, and here to discuss directly and indirectly that and other things pertaining to the real estate market as we approach the end of the year. As Peter Scarcell, general manager for the Rochester and Buffalo Niagara regions for Hunt Real Estate ERA, and Ed Forbes, the managing editor of The Record, a Gannett property, Gannett newspaper property in northern New Jersey. And just to jump to that for a second, Ed, and this is something that I guess is a mystery to me as much as it is fascinating, and that is how the explosion in media venues, social media, print, I guess that's going the wrong way, this kind of media, television in various multiple forms these days and different ways to acquire content, that the, in many ways, I think there's a generational confusion and there's also consumer confusion as well. And so the sellers of just about everything have to be somewhat confused themselves. And then you have the sellers of stuff that establish their own media, like Amazon or Google, let's say, that you have. So how do you see this today, and how is it evolving, and how does a consumer meander through that? And obviously, in a paper like yours, real estate advertising has been a traditional source of revenue for the paper, but that's changing too because the agents and the companies are confused about where they need to emphasize their marketing efforts to get the biggest bang for the buck.
Yeah, I think about this stuff almost constantly. I have a coffee mug, actually, that has the phrase, embrace the blur, on it. And I've had that coffee mug probably 5 years because the disruption in the media marketplace is so pronounced and has been really now for more than a decade. Let me try to bite off on the advertising piece because I think that's very interesting. One of the developments for us digitally over the last year is a relationship with a newspaper archive called newspapers.com. I believe the Buffalo News is part of their network of newspapers also. But basically, newspapers.com is a digitized archive of thousands of newspapers from across the country. And if you take a look at a paper, say, from 1978, let's go back 40 years, the amount of advertising that we carry, not just in real estate, not just in classifieds, not just in department stores and grocery stores, but really in mom and pop small business, was simply staggering. And I'm sure if you went back and looked at the news or the Courier Express from that era, you would see the same thing. That we were, as an industry, were a centralized conveyance of advertising to consumers. And I think the media marketplace, in the days of the three networks and the hometown newspapers, was much less confused than it is today. And as I said, embrace the blur. People are hit in every part of their lives with information. We use, smartphones are pervasive, obviously, and a huge part of the culture now. And so one of the issues that I worry about is media literacy, and not just news literacy, which I think is critically important to the future of the country, but we are going to have to adjust our educational system, I think, to help my children's generation, understand how to process information, because the way that I grew up processing information, the way that my wife grew up processing information, is vastly different than what our daughters face today. And we're going to have to teach kids how to parse and how to find balanced sources of news. We've talked about this a lot. You can watch television and get news, but that will be news from your perspective, not necessarily news as you need to see it. And so critical thinking will be more important than ever before.
How has this affected journalistic integrity, in your opinion?
I think that's a very complicated and interesting question. For those of us who are involved in community journalism, I think we've sort of doubled down ethically over the last 10 years. But I think one of the things that I think is interesting is watching some of the larger players, both traditional news media outlets, some television outlets, some radio outlets, play to their audiences. And, you've got to play to your audience to survive in this media marketplace. But I think there's also a point at which you can jump the shark and take it a little too far. And so I think of outlets on either side of the political spectrum when I'm making that observation is, I think you can go too far in playing to your audience.
And let's tie this back to the high end piece of real estate, the seller of an expensive home, and they come to you, Peter Scarcell, and they say, "Well, gee, you've got to put my house here, there, or someplace else, including publications from out of town like the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, because that's where people that can afford my house look." How do you respond to that when the agents seek advice from you, and how do you respond directly to clients when they ask you a question like that?
Yeah, the more expensive properties demand more in the way of marketing. You know, they look in Buffalo, Niagara anyway. They look to Buffalo Spree, they look to Business First, different publications, and they feel that that's where the market is, where the high end is. It's viewing these publications, but
in a practical, real world sense, can we or anybody in this industry in any market point to any of those high-end publications as a real catalyst for any given sale? Or is it something that's just more of a feel-good thing for people selling their homes in that price range?
I believe that's what it is. As you're well aware, we've basically, for the most part, eliminated print in Buffalo, Niagara. We have a very small presence in print. We're putting more into technology and our website and things like that, but people just have access to more information now online, and I think what they do is, you know, we've got to interpret that information for them. You talk about people selling their homes on their own. We've got a limited service component to our organization, and that business is down. And I think what's happened is there's so much information out there that sellers and buyers of real estate it creates confusion. Mm-hmm. And they need us to interpret that information.
And I'll ask both of you, gentlemen, what about this Zillow effect, where people have all this information at their fingertips, or they think they do anyway, massive amounts of information about just about any property anywhere on earth, whether it's for sale or not, and somehow, obviously the consumer's been empowered here, but to what extent has that changed really buyer behavior and in terms of net more buyers? For example, there's millions more people looking at real estate because there's more information out there, and it's a much curiosity as anything else, but has it produced net new buyers? And you have to deal with this at Forbes. What do you see?
We actually see the Zillow effect for community journalism in the digital space is really an interesting point. Real estate content, so if we feature in our real estate sections a high-end home, it's great content for us. We're going to see page views. We're going to see deep reader engagement, which is to say people are going to spend a couple of minutes looking at the story. They want to click through all the photos. I doubt in any way, though, that spurs a buyer. You know, it may spur somebody to go look at a house, and I think, you know, having just been through a real estate transaction of my own, there's still no experience beyond seeing a property.
That's
the test. But the Zillow effect for media is really interesting because people love looking at stuff, and that's why those sites are out there, because they're great advertising vehicles. Because people want to click through picture galleries of homes.
But it's essentially free.
Right.
To both parties.
Right.
So as a commercial enterprise, how does something like, what does the future of Zillow look like? I mean, and let's say it goes away.
Remember, the initial rub on Zillow was that they felt that, economists thought that they actually stalled the housing recovery because they didn't clear out the inventory.
And because it was inaccurate.
It was inaccurate, and it gave the impression that there were more properties on the market than there actually were. Now, I think they've got
frustrated consumers.
Yes, it's there still is a frustration level with it. I get calls from friends saying, you know, what about this? And then you look into it, and it sold last year, and they don't clear it out.
And also, their effort to collect data on every property is confusing to buyers and sellers too. They're downloading information from every county clerk's office in the entire country all the time, and in Canada too. So assuming that they are kind of a new real estate medium, and assuming then that the greatest opportunity for papers like yours, Ed, would be to to arouse the curiosity of the audience, but really not functionally change the market whatsoever. Where do we go with that? I mean, this is what I think we're in a state of confusion right now.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. You know, what we want to do, and I think this may be a model for, you know, this is the model that other media are taking across the board. You know, we want to convert readers who come to us for that kind of serendipitous delight into subscribers. And so it wouldn't surprise me at all if some of the listing sites end up charging nominal subscription fees in the future. Or, you know, if that's something that happens in your business too, where if someone buys a house, they get a subscription to huntrealestate.com and they get updates on legitimate, you know, market information, legitimate listings. That's where I think one of the things that may tame the confusion is that if the marketplace shifts and if the media industry is able to lead in this way toward a subscription model where people have to pay for the information that they're seeking, for credible information, we may see a little bit of correction to that blur.
And let me say, mention one other thing that is a cross development that benefits the whole community between us and newspaper locally, the Buffalo News. We are a collection point for the News Neediest Drive, all of our offices, and you can look them up, the locations at our website, huntrealestate.com. And we encourage you to drop your stuff off there for people that in need. I believe they have to be packaged, still in the package. Is that correct, Peter?
Yes.
So it's new items that you'd like to donate to.
Toys, games.
To any, I think, clothing too. That's
clothing,
brand
yes.
new. So I think this is a great opportunity for organizations like ours that have been around for a while, and organizations like the News has been around for a while, to cooperate and for the good of the community. And we hope that all of you will embrace that in this holiday season, enjoy the season, and also help those in need in our community. And there remains significant needs in our community, in every community, and we hope that you'll take advantage of that. In our last minute or so, any last thoughts on media and also on the market?
Just on, you know, and I say this every year for first time home buyers, that they enter the market in the spring and they lose out on countless offers, and then they go to the sidelines, and then they come in the next spring and they do the same thing all over again. Buy now. You know, the market slows in November, December, January. There's an opportunity there.
It's not going to get cheaper.
It's not going to get cheaper. There's quality houses on the market, and jump in now and buy rather than waiting till the spring when you may run into the same thing again.
And from a media perspective, Ed Forbes?
Support your local journalists and subscribe today to wherever you are in Western New York. Subscribe to the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. Subscribe to USA Today. Subscribe to the Buffalo News.
And listen to free radio.
That's right.
Anyway, this is Peter Hunt, and I want to thank Ed Forbes from the Journal in Gunnipaper in Northern New Jersey.
The Journal News in Westchester and the Record in Northern New Jersey.
And Peter Scarcella, General Manager of both the Buffalo Niagara and Rochester Regions for Hunt Real Estate. I want to thank you for being with us this morning. I want to thank our listeners. We'll be back again next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is Hunt Country.